Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
It's like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Cycle it basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big long-winded speech to all passes up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downing, otherwise known as Beast Zeno. This is my co-host, Dark Fool. Dark Fool, how the hell are you today, man?
I'm doing great, man. I am ready for a good show, and I'm sitting back here with a Pepsi One, just chilling.
Pepsi One, huh? You upgraded from the coffee a little bit, I see.
Actually, I had coffee beforehand, and I've got some Monster just in case I need to wake up some more. It is Saturday. You know how it goes.
Oh, I do, man. I'm nursing a bit of a hangover myself. Like I mentioned pre-live, you know, a little bit of a hangover, and I'm sporting a funky monkey buzz. So my brain is hopefully either going to work with me or against me, one or the other.
Well put.
So with all that in mind, I actually want to kind of start off by saying the way this show is going to work today is we're going to take callers throughout the whole throughout the entire show, but I don't want any long-standing soliloquies. I don't want anybody going on for 5 or 10 minutes. I want to be able to get to every caller, everyone that calls. When they call in, you're welcome to offer an argument for or against. Either side of the dichotomy, spiritual versus symbolic. If you have a separate ideology, a third way of looking at it, you can offer evidence for that too. And in kind of commemoration of that, what I want to do is talk about how I approach this whole subject, because I think I have a little bit of an interesting vantage. I actually don't subscribe to either theistic or atheistic, symbolic or spiritual. I don't acknowledge it as being a true dichotomy. And I call it a false dichotomy. The thing that I'm really looking at, when you boil it down to it, the biggest argument that goes against theism is, you know, if you've seen somebody who is talking to an invisible person, you know, they would... You know, they would seem insane to you. So the idea of a God or something that's external that you can't see, that's omnipresent and everywhere, is very similar to that. And so you're kind of crazy if you subscribe to that. Now, the reverse argument could be made that you might just be the only one who's not in on the joke, or you think you get the joke, but you don't. When you kind of sit down and you really look at it that way, it kind of seems silly to make any kind of hard stance on this, because there's just not enough data. There's just not enough things. I mean, I'm aware myself that there are forces that are outside of my understanding and outside of my appreciation as how they work. For instance, I mean, gravity is something that I interact with constantly, but beyond what I've read about it in books, I don't really know much about it. I don't know what causes it. I don't know, I don't know how exactly it works. I have an idea, but could I, beyond a couple of simple, science class style experiments, could I really demonstrate how gravity works? I can't work in that large of a scale. You know, I'm a man, and gravity is something that's at least planetary in nature.
And aren't textbooks other people's interpretations, some of which are not founded yet?
Exactly. So the point of it is that there's one force right there that I can define that, it exists. Is it really what we describe it as? We don't really know. So I think it's kind of foolish to take a harsh stance. I try to appreciate that people have different vantages when it comes to that. I mean, I noticed just in pet owners, there are different kinds of pet owners. Some pet owners look at it as just being an animal, something that, you know, it, other than the fact that it needs certain affection and stuff like that, it's not so anamorphic. Is that the word that I want to use?
Anamorphic or anthropomorphic?
Anthropomorphic is actually what I'm thinking of. So, you know, I know that people like that, they, you know, look at them as they're just animals and, you know, they consider them to be separate and not like them at all. And there are other people that really personalize their animals, you know, like, their pet is treated as if it's another person in the household. You know, they talk to them, they play with them, you know what I mean? So if someone can have that kind of a relationship with something that's a lesser life form, then I can't really pass judgment myself on them, you know, having that type of really close personal relationship with some external force that they think is out there. So that's really my approach. Before anything else, though, I just wanted to kind of get that out there. Do you have any questions about it, man, or anything that I maybe didn't clarify?
No, it's pretty much straightforward. And you said earlier about a third way of looking at things, and I actually bring that to the table as well. I think that when it comes to spiritual and symbolic, I see the two kind of interrelating in a sense. You know, like the symbolic is more representative of the spiritual, which can't be clearly confined by, you know, the actual world, the real world, the crystallized world, the ones that we live in on the third dimension, so to speak. So I see the symbolic as sort of like, you know, man reaching out past, you know, by appealing to man's interpretations to be able to go beyond himself, if that makes sense.
That does make sense to me. That's actually a very interesting advantage. So is it more of beyond himself in what, intellectual, psychic? I'm not really sure, though. I mean,
in my own interpretation, I would say it's outside of oneself, not just in intellectual, but also in emotional. And fusing, I guess, see, this is one of the trickiest things. When you talk about spirit and you talk about spiritual, you get all kinds of definitions because it's so subjective and so many people have ideas as to what it could be. I mean, ranging from like a regular person off the street who goes to church, you know, maybe once in their lifetime on Easter, to the person that actually studies this in classes and actually does, like, you know, maybe some New Age practices, maybe some satanic practices. I mean, there's quite a wide range of what the spiritual is. And I think, for me, the spiritual is what lies beyond our grasp that we can't fully comprehend. And the way that we can comprehend it by fusing the intellectual and the emotional together is like myths, or through allegories, or through metaphors, parables.
Now, what's very interesting to me is that everything, especially humans, and I know this because, well, I obviously have shared the experience, there's a quality about us that allows us to learn, it allows us to create, it allows us to talk, it allows us to express ourselves outside of just trying to fulfill these specific Maslowic needs, you know, the need for shelter, the need for food. You know, it's kind of very interesting to me that there would be such hardcore atheistic style saintness when the pursuit of indulgences itself is, it's something you're pursuing, things that are outside of your basic needs. You know, these are pleasures, and pleasure is another one of these qualities that I'm talking about. I mean, you, you can say it's all chemical, and that's true, but isn't it more than that still?
Well, I would absolutely agree with you on that one. And one aspect I would like to look at when viewing this from a Levayan standpoint is the you know, the KISS aspect. You know, keep it simple, stupid. So I think what a lot of Levayans look at is that, yeah, it's kind of all connected to pleasure, and it's all just outside. I mean, even if it's outside, it may be interesting, but it doesn't directly. I think the Levayans and the atheistic Satanists focus well more on the here and now, which, in my opinion, could be kind of limiting in a sense, because how are you going to progress any further?
Right, absolutely. Real quick, before we continue into this, let me just once again throw out there, you guys are welcome to call in at any point in time. Again, I just don't want any long-standing soliloquies. If you've got an argument for theistic Satanism, if the theistic vantage, period, if you have an argument against it, if you want to express a third side like Dark Fool and myself have done, you're welcome to do that as well. We'd really like to get a bunch of different viewpoints on this show, so it's real important to me that you guys do actually call it. Continuing on, where were we? Because I kind of lost myself on that.
We were talking about how the Levayans kind of focus on the here and now, and I mentioned that the here and now may be nice, but how do we expect to move past ourselves if we focus too much on the here and now?
Well, I agree with that, but there's a conflict in that thinking, and that is that we're kind of mechanically programmed to do this. What do I want to say? It's like expected. You know, we're expecting the next second to happen. You know, even though by probability or by possibility, rather, at any point in time, you know, everything could just go to complete shit and life could just end, at least for you. You know, the stray bullet theory, however you want to put it. So it's that same thing in a different expression. It's, you know, the here and now is very easy to focus on because, well, you're existing in it. But I think subconsciously we realize that at any point in time you can just be gone. It's just done. You know, so it gets difficult to focus beyond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's interesting is that man is, as far as I know, the only animal that does think, that does contemplate its own death.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. However, that would be a really nice thought, but I'm pretty sure that animals just have a little more of a natural way of... And hang on a second here. I'm going to pick up this caller. It's Naga. Naga Shiva, how are you?
Fine. Can you hear me?
Yes,
absolutely. Welcome
fine.
To the show, Naga.
Thank you very much.
Do you have an expression of opinion as far as the dichotomy presented is?
Sure. I have only just recently joined your show, so I haven't heard what you and Dark Fort have mentioned previously, but I did hear what you wanted to have expressed on the show in terms of a support for one side or another of this topic. So I understand that you're wanting to get some sort of for or against view of theistic Satanism and perhaps an opinion about symbolic versus spiritual Satanism. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, it seems to me that it doesn't matter what kind of Satanism is being pursued by an individual as long as it's self-supporting and isn't working against the enduring sense of that activity. And in terms of theistic Satanism, I don't think that it's necessarily a problem to engage God or to support them or to somehow manifest them or work with them in one's life. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about what constitutes spirituality, and in regards that, I have an opinion that I've derived from exploration of religion and mysticism. I equate the spiritual with the experiential, and particularly what can be optimized in a practical sense that I can make more enthusiastic, more enjoyable about my subjective experience. And I consider that to be what spirituality includes. And I pretty much have been able to fit everything I've explored in the ways of religion and spirituality, as it's been called around me, into that mind frame. So that, I think, addresses most of what you've asked me to.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just one thing that I think is very interesting, because whenever I listen to you talk on these things, you always come at it with this very symbolic, very, I think pragmatic's the word that I want to use, expression, but I think it's important that we note here that you do consider yourself to be theistic in nature, correct?
Well, I'm not sure that I can easily set myself into those categories, mostly because the way that people describe them is different than I would. I have intentionally engaged deities or gods as I understand them. I have not, and avoided belief about such things so that I can understand their experiential nature and not try to form any ideas about what those things include. And I do and have discovered that gods are real, at least internal to human experience. In that sense, I'm theistic, yes. I don't understand Satan as a god as yet. I know people who do, but it's not something that I've experienced so far.
Okay. That's just, I think, important to note when people are considering what you stated just prior to it. So thank you very much, Nada, for Duck Fool, before we let him go, is there anything you want to ask him?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think on how I'm going to phrase this question. How about the spiritual and the carnal? How do you see the two relating? Like, I know I brought this up. We talked about this at length on the last show, Beast and Idea. Where do you see the spiritual, like, coinciding with the carnal?
Well, my understanding of the two as they relate to one another has to do with a differentiation of consciousness primarily. So there are different levels of consciousness and different ways of experiencing things that are elements of it. As you're using the terms spiritual and carnal, there seems to me are types of pleasure particularly, or pain, that relate to the physical body, and that those are most adequately addressed by the term carnal, sense that they are directly pleasurable, such as when you're eating something and you're pleased by its taste, things of that kind. They're often more temporary or less enduring in one's experience. Whereas I understand the spiritual to relate to things that are more subtle and more long-term, relating to the personality and to one's condition as a person. For example, one's attitude toward values and towards the world, towards living beings, things of that kind, but also experientially more deep in their resonance to the world itself.
Awesome.
Well,
yeah.
Naga, you're a brilliant guy. You're a brilliant guy. I appreciate you calling in, man. And hopefully other people will take the same opportunity you have and just kind of share with us, because I think a big downfall in this whole dichotomy is the expression of generalities within it. I think that either vantage is very personal. And
well put.
That really changes the whole ballpark when you're thinking about it, because, I mean, you know, that baseball card that's stuffed away under my mattress, that probably doesn't have the same value to the next guy as it does to me. They don't know, you know, I had to work the whole summer cleaning up tile at 99 cents an hour to be able to buy enough packs to get that particular card. You know, they don't understand the inherent value that has appreciated on something, because they don't have the experience building into it. So, again, I'd really enjoy it if we'd get some other vantages on here. I'm even willing to call out Chicken Wings, because I know he's listening. So,
thanks, we'll go listening in the chat room.
What's that?
Thank you, Naga. Don't be a stranger.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Naga. All right. I think we should be getting a caller here soon. So in the meantime, I did want to put that out there. I think that a lot of people don't necessarily get that, you know, when somebody gets all up in a ruckus about their beliefs being scrutinized. Hang on a second. We actually have a caller, so let's take the caller. Caller, you're on the news.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Venus?
Who?
Oh,
no, it's not.
This is Bobo. I just signed on up for Sin. The advocate Christian.
Could you turn your speakers on the show down a little bit while you're on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make it easier. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. They're down.
Okay. All right. So, do you have a certain angle that you want to talk about here?
Yes, I do. Because everybody has so much trouble understanding what exactly my belief system is. I'm agnostic in nature, and I sort of believe that God is personal, and that we're all trying to explain the same exact thing according to our own personal standards.
Okay, now that of course is we're all, meaning everybody that actually believes in God or as some
mm-hmm.
form of deity.
Yeah.
That obviously it doesn't include, or could it include someone of atheistic mindset?
Yes. I feel that God is evolution, so he's moving us to that point.
My question was, how would you see the atheist fitting in with that that theory, you know, God moving us towards, you know, the evolutionary, you know, to that point? How would the atheist play a role in that?
Because they have no master, which I think is ultimately what the goal is.
That's, I think, very reasonable vantage. I believe that nothing wants to be enslaved to anything else unless it's by choice, and then that's not really enslavement, is it? So.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
exactly.
What actually kind of pops into my head here is if you believe in a God, I mean, that's a choice. And so, you know, what God really does enslave anybody anyway? I mean, if you think
exactly.
you have to believe in it, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a false, false vantage, I think. You know, you believe and you have to believe in it. It's still your choice. You know, obviously there's enough information out there that there's other ways of looking at it at this point. I don't think that anybody could really say that they're forced into believing something.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true. I think that our personal psychological issues and things really tend to dictate where we go with our beliefs.
Absolutely. That's pretty much all I've got. Dark Fool, do you have any other questions?
Well, then, I mean, not so much questions, but one thing I would like to throw out there is then that means that pretty much every god is a subjective experience. There's no one universal being. Or how would you relate to that? What have you to say to that?
I agree. I think it's more of a almost a pantheistic, whatever thing, that there may be nothing, or it may be all of it, but it really doesn't matter as long as you're trying to do what feels personally right to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you very much for calling in.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. While we're waiting for the next caller, any commentary that's on our current caller, because that's a very interesting vantage. God is the force that's pushing us towards evolution. That's as I understood it.
That's very much the same way I see it too. I see whatever the big picture is that we are heading towards. How should we say, like an omega point, so to speak? You know, we're progressing, we're evolving, and whatever that thing is definitely, you can see it manifesting. You know, almost, you know, if not every year, then at least, you know, looking back on every decade, you can see it.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this force that's moving us towards evolution, does it have any similar qualities to the force that animates us, that fifth quality that people refer to as spirit?
Well, in my opinion, I say it has to. I think that there's a drive to know, and there's a drive to keep moving forward. And I think that evolutionary current, if you want to put it in those terms, is very much leaning towards, I mean, it's that spiritual drive, not necessarily that it is, I mean, some people would argue that it's not spiritual, but I think by trying to go outside of ourselves that it is that. I would equate that with spiritual in a sense. It's trying to find that which cannot be defined.
Right. I'm really wishing we could get somebody with a hardcore atheistic vantage on here now to kind of mix things up. So that's the next caller I'm really looking for, if anybody wants to know. I'm going to throw out the call-in number. It's 347-989-1371. So it's your contention that anybody looking to reach beyond themselves, outside of themselves, is in fact participating within a spiritual practice? That's what you're contending here?
Absolutely. Even if they have an atheistic viewpoint, like if they're looking at it from, like if they're a hardcore atheist scientist, for example, but they want to know through practice, through experimentation, through concrete results, I think those two coincide. And I would like to bring up a quote by Aleister Crowley. It was it the goal of science and the aim of religion? You know, I see those very much heading towards the same aspect, which I would consider to be spiritual.
Right. Sorry, I'm trying to follow the chat room and at the same time listen to you, and I kind of got lost there for a second. It seems really interesting to me how things develop on this kind of line where there's these two imagined extreme poles, and then there's all this wide variance between them, different degrees of the same thing that have more of one property than the other or whatever. That's really kind of the way that I was hoping to approach this today. And Naga's saying that he could argue any advantage from his understanding, but I'm looking for somebody who is heartfelt in their conviction, if I can use that term. So, I can make an argument for either stance, either, but the difference is, you know, I see it in the specific lens that I see it in, and so no matter what, my presentation of it is going to be tainted by that.
Right. Well, I see your point, and I could, honestly, I could do the same thing and play devil's advocate, but I prefer to keep going on the direction that we're going on and get some atheist pissed off enough to call.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, certainly. I could do that.
With that said, I would like to bring up the topic of thought forms and mimetics. What are your thoughts on that, Beast? Because I think they play a role, a big role in all this.
First, describe a situation in which those two terms would be attached to it, and then I'll be able to give you a better answer, because I can think of a million things that deal with thought forms and a million things that deal with mimetics. So,
okay. In one aspect with mimetics, it's like, okay, a political idea, for example, I would consider a mimetic. Let's take, like, Karl Marx thought of communism, and then it didn't get picked up until later. You know, that was a mimetic thought form, a way in which things could be handled, and it was picked up, and it was, obviously now it has branched out to different other thought forms, like there's different versions of communism, within that blanket. So I would see that thought form being picked up by other people and pushed out into the world and actually taking some sort of form and playing some sort of role in the development of, our evolution, our consciousness, and what have you. And thought forms, obviously, with what we were talking about with gods, with different gods and different perspectives of deity and having being like a personal idea more than anything else, obviously that could be considered a form of mimetics as well, because, I mean, if you look at Christianity, for example, how many sects of Christianity are there within that blanket term, Christianity?
Okay, so what I'm gathering here is what you were specifically asking me about was if I thought that mimetics existed. Is that what your question is?
It's twofold, I guess. Do you think that they exist, and do you think that they play a significant role with the development of our, you know, evolution? How about spirituality? Do they play a role within spirituality? Do they play a role within growth?
Okay. Well, being one of my favorite books of all times is the book The Lucifer Principle.
As is mine.
You could obviously from that derive the fact that I do in fact believe mimetics exist. It doesn't take much more than considering things like stereotyping and culture to realize that there is something that happens with ideas, and they do spread from person to person, each person interpreting it just slightly different. So my contention is that mimetics is certainly something that exists, and beyond exists, it's something that mutates each time it reaches a new host. Each host has a little bit of a different strand of the meme that it encountered.
Just to add on really quickly to what you're saying, I've seen this same example countless times. You know, not just when I was a kid, but other elementary school kids, when they play the game telephone, you know, where they say one thing and then they spread it around, you know, whisper it in the ear of other students, and then it slowly but gradually mutates into like another message entirely.
Right. So, the phone. That's the big example. That the game, the phone, that's what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a huge example, and it does show that how ideas transform. Do I think that it's something that is contributing to our evolution? I certainly do. I think that, wasn't it actually, what the hell is his name, Darwin? I mean, isn't he actually the one who founded the idea of a mem?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
and
even his
theories branched out.
Right. I mean, as every idea comes into possession of somebody, they will add their own thing to it. And sometimes it's very subtle, but other times it can be extreme. And the extremes are what I consider different varieties, more to speak, different species of that idea. I think that's a really unique thing to talk about, and it's definitely very applicable when you're discussing things like atheism versus theism, symbolism versus spiritualism. You know, each thing is so widely subjective. There's only the contention of, I don't know, the general common reality. The general common reality is the only real consensus or testing board that you can.
Absolutely, man.
So.
Absolutely, man. And I would even go so much further to say that all these God forms are in and of themselves, you know, thought forms and memes, by saying that, you know, like, they evolve over time. I mean, we've done past shows with Satan being connected to Lucifer, even though they were two different gods at one point. And I always love bringing up the example of how Egypt unified upper, you know, the pharaohs unified upper and lower Egypt by mixing Amun with Ra and creating Amun Ra, so that these ancient cultures could worship both deities and be unified, and there was more control.
And I mean, that's certainly another way that you can really look at it. One of the dangers of memetics is the fact that when things are intentionally mutated, they can shift a certain balance of power into somebody's favor, which I think is what you're talking about. You know, they used the combination of those two gods to give themselves a stronger control over the general population.
Well, see,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That brings another question into my mind, is how does, is that really, now with that kind of a power play, is that spiritual development? What kind, I mean, that is a development, is that, you know, is that evolution? You know, is that conflict, does all conflict bring betterment like that? Does, you know, political power like that shifting, does that play a huge role in our evolution? Does it play a huge role in our spiritual evolution even?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the whole might is right thing is definitely there. My comment actually prior to, you know, realizing I was getting ready to step on top of you, I was going to state that, you know, there's a certain respect that needs to be given to somebody who has the ability to manipulate the memoplex like that. You know, we can criticize certain people for having colds, but on the other hand, the fact that they've developed the ability to manifest a cold is an impressive feat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm reminded, every time I think about the misuse of power when it comes to memetics, I'm always reminded of, say, Nietzsche, and how, you know, the Nazi party took the concept of the Übermensch, you know, the Superman, and just, you know, took it out of proportion. And yet, you know, in a sense, there was a mass devastation, but at the same time, there was a growth. you know, you that cannot be denied. It was adversarial, and it was a huge conflict, but out of that grew something better.
Right. I think another thing that I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show when I was giving my vantage point is I also view the potential of there being larger, more complex organisms than ourselves, the social organism being one that I can point directly at. Now, there's the contention that I've actually been working on is that you could possibly manifest consciousness within that. I don't think that we're at a point where we can do that, but in the future, if enough of these memoplexes become strong enough, it could have its own derivative of consciousness.
And that's what I would equate with a thought form. That's how I see memetics and thought forms coinciding.
Right. So, okay, we're on a similar page. That's interesting. I'm still looking for my atheist caller here, so
I'm still bringing up a bunch of theistic aspects to piss him off enough to call in.
You want to piss him off enough to call in, you just tell him they fail. And that usually works. But 347-989-1371, come on, call in. Let's hear some opinions. I know Chicken Wings has got to be out there. We'll get him on there. He's got a very interesting vantage of divinity as well. So, anybody, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be an atheist. It just would be nice to get that on this show. Oh, nothing. Okay. Moving on then.
Okay.
Another aspect that's interesting to examine about this is what people do with their gods. Some people view themselves as striving to be like their mentor, which, you know, in that relationship, I don't necessarily know that they can still refer to the entity that as a god rather than an archetype, but there are people who have a spiritual pull on it as well.
Absolutely, and going back to the last show that you and I did with Venus Satanis, she put her definition. One of her definitions, it was kind of vague, but I'll go ahead and recap it, was that the spiritual is what connects someone to the world in a meaningful way. So a lot of times people pick and choose their gods, you know, that they relate most to. You know, I myself have been doing it recently and showing how that relates out into the world.
Right. Right. I got to agree with that, and I'm really, unfortunately, running out of things to contribute here. So in a couple of minutes, I'm going to enact the free-for-all at the last 15 minutes rule that we used to have on this show, because I don't want to beat this horse to death if there's no new input put in here. If that's the case, then we'll just go on to talk about, I don't know, whatever, man. I mean, yeah. Okay, and so the next caller calls in. It's free for all. If you got anything you want to put out there, Dark Pool, now's the time, man.
Well, done a lot of holiday shopping recently.
A lot of holiday shopping?
Oh,
I
God.
I haven't actually begun mine yet.
It is ridiculously expensive out there during this economic crunch. How fucked up is that?
Yeah, well, it's just going to get more expensive. That's the thing that's really interesting here. The failure of capitalism, I think, is really it's really showing its head right now. It's not a strong system. The problem is, it's just not the perfect system.
Well, there will never be a perfect system. In fact, you know, I thought about this not too long ago. I mean, I was really contemplating, like, okay, you know, looking at capitalism and how it's been failing recently, and I came to the realization that no matter what system, you know, no matter what political system you work under, there has to be vigilance, and that's when that gets lost, you know, that's when things start falling apart. And, you know, at the same time, things do need to, there are times when things need to just crash and burn and just start over again, and there are times when you need to be vigilant and cut things off at the head. But, you know, at this point, I got to be honest with you. I'm ready for, you know, I'm ready for change, and not in the Obama sense. You know, I'm ready for, you know, the next thing.
I hope you're not talking about,
good.
Like, I'm sorry. I hope you're not talking about the panhandler sense. That kind of change.
Well, sadly, you know, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. You know what I mean? Cover
Absolutely.
Your own bases first.
Absolutely. All I can say, I mean, I'm obviously not informed enough with everything in the world to really give any kind of, you know, serious analysis to what's going on. The only thing that I can think is it's become important for me to increase my level of self-sufficiency. So one of the things that I'm actually looking at doing is purchasing some land and starting a small crop just to supplement food costs and you know, maybe work towards the idea of being independent of I don't know, what we would call modern society.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, that's partly what the left-hand path is all about. I mean, really, like, bringing yourself, you know, self-mastery, so to speak, you know, and part of that is emancipation. You know, from these systems that would hold you down. And right now, you can clearly see, you know, those that are well off are either rising to the top or, you know, there's no middle class anymore. You're either rising to the top or you're going to the bottom.
Right, right. Agreed. But not to stick on this for too long, because I really don't want this to be like a heavy political, whatever, economic discussion. What I'd actually like to get into maybe is let's talk a little bit about the format of today's show, because I think overall the format of today's show has been excellent. I like the way that we've handled the callers. It would have been nice if people were able to successfully get on the air, but apparently there's been some difficulties, I'm assuming maybe on the part of Blog Talk Radio. Are there other ways that the show might be presented that you think we should try, Deadpool?
I think, honestly, I think it was open enough. I think we gave more than enough opportunity. I personally, maybe, you know what, maybe a little bit more, let's just say this, for next week, let's work on some more promotion, see if we can get more callers in.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, overall, it's not a big deal. The discussion shows were meant exactly for that. You know, I think that both of us have probably in our career in Satanism discussed the spiritual versus symbolic till we were blue in the face. I was just hoping to maybe get some kind of an audio record of different vantages on the show today. But overall, I mean, I think successful. Are there any topics that anybody would like to... Oh, wait a minute, we got a caller.
All right.
Oh, no, we don't have a caller. Damn it. Quick as they came on, they bounced off. What the hell was I just saying? It's just beating a dead horse for me otherwise, you know. I kind of laugh at people who become so fundamentally convicted to one stance or the other that they fail to see why the person that they're arguing against is approaching it in the manner that they are. And, you know, in that case, I think they're a little butthurt because they can't, you know, get that almighty, yeah, you're right, that gold fucking star, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, honestly, I could say people's advocate. I could say, like, oh, you know, oh, it's all about the here and now, and it's, you know, it just matters what's going on. You know, none of the spiritual stuff it applies in my life whatsoever. I mean, I could have done that, but, you know, I want to get some genuine theists, like people that actually have that strong conviction. I want to see the clash, you know?
I think what I'm going to do is schedule a part two for this show sometime in the next couple of months. And I'm intending on doing a pretty long YouTube video, you know, covering what topics and stuff. And guests, I'm going to try this week while I'm on vacation to line up a more comprehensive game plan in terms of the show so that everybody's not waiting until Friday when I finally remember, oh, shit, I've got to post something up for Saturday. you know, that way people have time to think, figure out if they want to participate. The idea was brought up of an interview being done of me, a highlight edition of me. I'm playing with that. What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to look for comments on the Blog Talk Radio page to people who actually want to hear me talk about my opinion more than I already do.
Count me in on that one because, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we've seen you put, you know, myself, Venus, Dan, everybody in see you and how you operate, man, under the spotlight. And then it'd be interesting for me to come up with the questions, you know, the challenging questions.
Right. Well,
I've played more of a complimentary role, but, you know, I've never really taken the bull by the horns and just said, all right, you're up.
Right. Well, I think what Zach was actually suggesting when he made it was that you and him or him and Jason or you, him and Jason would all take the role as hosts.
Ought to be fun.
Yeah, that's I think they want to see if I crack under pressure. It should be kind of funny. The pressure is what I do for a job, so I'm kind of
right. Yeah. Keep in mind. Yeah, that's. I'll never forget that one time that you, me, and Venger had that one show where you were, like, running around like a chicken with its head cut off. You could tell, like, in the background. You know, it was near 4th of July. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I could hear it. I could feel the stress on the other end of the line, man. I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe you actually put on the show. I would have rescheduled.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I have a system of ethics, and the one thing is that I try to constantly be working towards what it is, and I don't compromise if possible.
That's right, and that's why all you listening out there should call into the news and keep this going.
We've only got a couple minutes left, man, and I'm not really too worried about it. I think it was a good show all in all.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me, I always make it rock. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all you, man. I mean, before you,
yeah.
this was nothing.
Yeah.
So. where are we at? Topics, suggestions. Nagashiva has a few. He suggests that various approaches be foci and even switch a show to the next. Dark Doctrines, Temple of Set, Naga, send me an email, man, because this doesn't make any sense to me, and just reading a couple of sentences.
We've had some ideas. I've shared some, you know, via email or Facebook message or whatever with you, Beast.
Yeah.
And the Temple of Set is definitely in there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be interesting. I'm about to actually start calling Chicken out on Michael Ford on YouTube. Sent him a couple of messages now, and he's agreed, but he wanted to wait until he was closer to his release of his book. Well, you know, he's got to be getting close. And it's kind of my style to make a little video going, hey, it's your turn to come out and play. Other people of interest, the email address for any suggestions that you guys have for topics or whatever is theooze@fearthebeast.com. I'm hoping by the end of this week to have a 3-month schedule. So that's my goal. I want to get 3 months scheduled out. Definitely want to get some interesting people in here. Dan Harms is hopefully next Saturday is going to be Dan Harms. A highlight show that should be really cool. Very interesting. The man's a bibliographer, and he's an author. One book that I know he's contributed in is The Necronomicon Files.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah, so he should be a really interesting character. I'm also going to try to get Warlock Asylum back up here on the line. You didn't catch last night's show, but he popped in with some very interesting questions for Venus, man, and it was kind of cool. So.
Oh, good. I'm definitely going to go back. I mentioned this to you last night, Beast, but yeah, I've got a vacation coming up as well, so I'm going to go back and go through a lot of the old archives, and especially the Friday shows that I've missed. Because, you know, I'm usually, for those out there that don't know, I'm usually working on those Fridays, and I usually can't make them. But I will definitely catch shows and be up to speed, so thank you all for your patience.
Right. Now, you know, you can actually download the show and put it on your iPod, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've done so in the past.
Yeah. I'm actually throwing that out there more for the people listening than for you, man. I want them
to know
that they can walk around with the ooze on their headset.
I'm bad. Unless somebody, you know me, sometimes I need a swift kick in the ass to get things moving. They're like, all right, fine, you know. Got so many other things going on, but yeah, I'll definitely fit that in. And yes, you can put that on your iPod. You can take it with you to work. You can listen to it in your car. So download those episodes. Give us some hits, damn it.
All right, and don't forget to visit SatanicInternationalNetwork.com. If it wasn't for the Sin Network, this might not be as possible as it is. I mean, actually, I would probably still be doing it, but it's nice to have a place to kind of call home and a place to meet people that are exchanging ideas, and that's kind of the whole purpose of the show anyhow. And I kind of went into that last night, too. I guess you could say I'm in a little bit of a mood, so.
Good, good. Well, you know what? I personally have met some very interesting people through Sin as well. And, I owe it to Zach of Satanic International. Thank you so much for making that site. And, you know, I'll probably be on there after the show.
Awesome. I will not be. I'm going to take my kid and my beautiful fiance, and we're going to go get a Christmas tree. So.
All right, man.
Yeah,
all right.
Sounds fun. Got about a minute left. Thanks, Dark Fool, for co-hosting. And the hour didn't drag completely on. So that's a win for us. And with all the rest of that in mind, I really need to develop some kind of an outro because I've been ending these shows a little bit early and without any kind of, well, I have one outro. I guess we could play that. All right. Anyway, I guess with all that being said, we're on the way out.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Ventura Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.